This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Jill Ellis has had a distinguished career as a soccer coach, and the trajectory took her through Central Illinois. Back in 1997, she had her first head coaching job with the brand new U of I women's soccer team. After that, she spent time at UCLA and then went on to the U.S. Soccer Federation, where she led the U.S. women's national team to back-to-back FIFA Women's World Cup victories.
For the fourth time, the United States of America are crowned champions of the world, and for the very first time, they've done it on European soil.
Amazing. This past spring, Ellis returned to Central Illinois to be the campus-wide commencement speaker at the U of I. She was originally supposed to do that in 2020, but you know how that story goes. It's arguable that Ellis's career would not have been possible without the federal law known as Title IX, which was signed into law 50 years ago last week and guaranteed equal protection for women in education. I spoke with Ellis back in May. I want to start at the beginning of your soccer journey, if you will. So growing up in the UK, I understand your father was a soccer ambassador. Maybe I should say a football ambassador. What did that mean?
Well, yeah, my father was actually in the military. So I was kind of a military kid growing up in England. And, you know, while my father did that, he also coached for the Football Association of England. So, you know, as a young kid, we lived in Singapore where he coached the national team of Singapore. He worked with Trinidad and Tobago's national team. So we just had a lot of exposure to a lot of different football around the world. And obviously growing up in England, it was, you know, it's everywhere. So you can't help but be entrenched in it. But yes, my father was very much, you know, absorbed and immersed in soccer. And I can't say I planned to be a coach, but I'm guessing he probably thought it was likely, maybe. Who knows?
Well, it certainly makes sense in retrospect, at least. Yet, despite soccer being in the air as much as you said, you had limited opportunities to play, at least in an organized fashion, back in the UK, right?
Correct, yes. I mean, girls did not play. There was no, there were no teams for young girls or women. It was, you know, myself, I would play in the backyard with my brother. I would play in the schoolyard with the boys. But yeah, it wasn't until my parents decided to emigrate to the US that I was 15 when I went out for my first sort of organized soccer team with other girls. But yeah, it was something. I love sports. I grew up playing all kinds of sports, and I just felt when I actually got the chance to play organized soccer or football, as we call it, I just fell in love with it. I just love the freedom that the sport gives you to make decisions.
This is in Fairfax, Virginia. Did the other players think of you as a superstar coming from the UK?
Well, no, because I was such a rookie. You know, I mean, I was the last, you know, I went and tried out for my team, and they kind of said to me, well, what position do you play? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, wherever you want to put me, you know, kind of thing. It was sort of random. And then I always remember, you know, the last jersey that I had available on this team was the jersey that had number one on it. And I was like, oh my God, I was mortified, right? Like, I'm like, I do not want to wear the number one jersey. That's a lot of pressure. So, but listen, I fell in love with sport. I made amazing friends, you know, in those high school formative years, and ended up making the decision to actually play soccer in college. Yeah, it was not something, again, that I planned.
Interesting. You know, I didn't quite know where to ask this question in our conversation, but maybe this is the right spot. Have you seen the Apple TV show Ted Lasso about the American football coach who's hired to lead an English Premier League team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love it. I mean, I actually got, I think it was last year I was in LA and happened to go to the premiere. I mean, yes, it's, I think it's, initially it began as a series of commercials, and they were so popular that they obviously decided to create this show. And yeah, I think it's great. I mean,
I wonder if you can relate to the sort of culture clash aspect of it, you know?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, I can. I mean, you know, he's not an X's and O's guy, but, you know, there's so many great messages in his journey and what it is to be a coach. It's, you know, it's people management at its core, and he's brilliant at it. And obviously the humor and the real life stuff is great. So, but yeah, I mean, I came over and it was quite the education. I mean, first and foremost, I had a really strong accent back then. So, you know, people would kind of pause and stare at me, kind of trying to understand exactly what I was trying to say. But yeah, listen, I had great teammates, and they really helped bring me along, and rapidly got very familiar with the sport that I loved.
So you, speaking of coaching and Ted Lasso, you helped launch women's soccer at Illinois. How did that experience shape the coaching you've done for the rest of your career?
Yes, it was, I've been an assistant coach. I coached a couple of ACC schools, University of Maryland. I was at Virginia. And I remember getting this call. And I was kind of at that point in my career that I was like, yeah, am I ready? You know, do I want to go be a head coach? And I'd actually been offered a couple of positions that I turned down. It was, American University, Tulane. And then Illinois came a knock in. And, you know, full disclosure, and hopefully nobody laughs at me, but I actually got out a map to check to exactly see where the university was located. You know, I was still fairly new to these shores. And so I got out a map and I was, you know, kind of did a little history on it. And, you know, what immediately drew me to this opportunity was, one, for sure the chance to kind of build something from the ground up, but also, the academic, reputation of a university. You know, I felt, gosh, I'm going to really have the opportunity to attract bright, young women to come here. Not only to, listen, there, at the time there was no professional league, so not just to simply come and play soccer, but also to really get an education. And so when I came out on my interview, not going to lie, it was like, wow, it's very cold. I think there was snow on the ground. but it was just this chance to, be at an institution. And what I actually really love was that, Champaign-Urbana, the university was such a big part of the heartbeat of that community that I thought, we can get the fans behind us. We can build something very special here. So those were the things that, initially attracted me. The timeline did not attract me. I was like, oh my gosh, it was like 5 months to put a team on the pitch. I was like, that's quite the stretch. This buddy of mine, she actually got hired at the same time because University of Iowa were also starting a program. And she got hired at the University of Iowa. And I said, man, it's going to be a grind. We got to move quickly. And she goes, oh, we're starting next year. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. but you know what? I feel like when you're under pressure, it forces you to be at your best. And, we hit the ground running.
Well, speaking of being under pressure, so you're at U of I, you go to UCLA, you get the offer from U.S. Mm-hmm. Soccer, and then you coach eventually the national team to back-to-back World Cup victories. I'm wondering, how is it different coaching some of the best players in the world from a group of college students who are brand new, in at least at that level of play?
Yeah, you know what? It is a great question. When I went to the University of Illinois, I really recruited from within the student body. There was a club team at the university, so I held tryouts. And one of the things that I said to these young players was, listen, I'm not gonna lower my standards, but I'm gonna be patient to help you get there. And I loved it. I mean, they were bought in. And yes, for sure, are you talking the level of play different when you're dealing with some of the best players in the world? Absolutely. But when it comes to kind of commitment, investment, desire, those things, those traits, you find, I think, it doesn't matter what team you're working on. If you've got a team that has ambition and you've got young women that are motivated, there's a lot of similar traits. But certainly working with some of the, the premier players in the world, that has its challenges as well. You're managing players that now, some of them have families, you've got an 18-year-old on the roster, you've got a 35-year-old on the roster, you have players that are, this is their profession, and if they don't make a roster or you cut them, they're not getting paid. So obviously different challenges, but again, I think, I said it at the top of the show, is it really is about managing people, and if you can kind of connect with people, get to know them, learn their ambition, and help facilitate that growth, then, you hope that the outcome and the result is a positive one.
All right, let me remind listeners, we're listening back to my conversation with former U.S. National Women's Soccer Coach Jill Ellis, who was giving the commencement address at the University of Illinois earlier this spring when we first broadcast this conversation. I want to talk to you. Megan Rapinoe, captain of the U.S. women's team, and her colleagues put a spotlight on pay inequity in the sports. Let's listen to a clip of her talking about that.
What we've learned and what we continue to learn is that there's no level of status and there's no accomplishment or power that will protect you from the clutches of inequality. One cannot simply outperform inequality or be excellent enough to escape discrimination of any kind. And I'm here today because I know firsthand that this is true.
Can you talk about your own experience with this issue and what you think about the efforts underway to try and equalize pay for women in sport?
Yes, and this is, where you commend the players and you commend the team. I mean, the U.S. Women's National Team has always been very proud to advocate for whether it's, LGBTQ, whether it's, equal pay. I love the fact that they have a platform and they use it. And, when I first took over the Women's National Team, as a coach, you kind of put your head down, you want to get the job done. You've got a mountain to climb, so to speak, and you kind of lock into that. And I remember I was about 2 years on the job, and a woman, a Dr. Nicole Lavoie, who was at the University of Minnesota, she called me in. I knew her, a little bit, and she said, "Jill, I'm just going to give you some advice." I said, "Great, let's hear it." And she said, "Jill, when you have a platform, you have a responsibility to, be a voice, be visible, and build a community." And it was really at that point that I recognized that, yes, I too have a responsibility to champion women. Women's coaches, there were so many just, stepping out of the profession because managing, children, managing pay, managing all these things. So I it was at that point that I kind of was like, yeah, this is also my cause to kind of support. And so, yes, I think it was making sure that the players felt we were certainly not going to mute their voices, and we want to make sure we amplify their voices. And so supporting them in that, myself, it was trying to also advocate for not just the players, but also the staff, because if you were to look at, the staff and salaries across the board from our men's side to our women's side, there was a disproportion there as well. So it was not just for the players. It was also for, the assistant coaches, the trainers, all the people that were really, working with the women's team. And Megan's point, we had to make sure that we stood up and openly discussed it and talked about it. And I think that's, it was very powerful, when they're presenting the trophy in France in 2019, when the chant is not USA, USA, it's equal pay. And I think that really, what I think we recognized at that point was, hey, this is bigger than us. This is something that we can, that will hopefully resonate. And it did. Australia came out shortly thereafter and they made a statement that they were going to pay their men's team the same as their women's team in terms of that. So it certainly had a ripple effect. But, again, it's we're a long way from there. We still have to continue to champion this and discuss it and shine the light on it.
What do you hope to accomplish as president of the San Diego Wave Football Club?
Well, part of why I stepped into that role was very much because, again, when you're, coming out of 2019, I spent a lot of time speaking to organizations and businesses. And what I continued to hear was this drum of, hey, we've got to get more women in C-suite positions. We've got to get more women on boards. If we're really going to try and, get this gender gap kind of addressed and changed and championed, et cetera, we've got to get more women making decisions. So when this opportunity presented itself to me, initially it was a consultant role. And as I discussed and talked with the owner, I said, I would like to run the whole thing. And what I recognized was I could hire a female head coach. At the time, there was only one other female head coach in the league. I could hire a female GM. Similarly, there was, I think, one other female head coach in our entire professional league. Hire a female chief revenue officer. And listen, that's not to say we're not hiring men as well, but suddenly you're in a position now where you can create opportunities for others. And then that again, you create those opportunities and again, the ripple effect. So I got into this position. Certainly, I love soccer. Certainly, I want to give back to the game. But I recognize this was a chance to elevate women, create positions. In sports, there are very limited positions for women. You start to see it a little bit now, but incrementally. But right now, the major percentage of figures in sport, both the men and women's sports, are guys.
Jill Ellis, thank you so much for being with us on the 21st show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me so much.
Jill Ellis is president of the San Diego Wave Football Club, former coach of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, and former coach of the University of Illinois Women's Soccer Team. She gave the campus-wide commencement address this May, which is when I first spoke with her. And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.